Hello, this is a show from Radio. Your group of stations bringing new, unforgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
Perché tanto cibo, signor Iacovitti, e in particolare tanti salami nelle sue tavole?
Salame, adesso è parte di riferimento di tutta questa grazia di Dio che è qua. Il salame mi piace, non lo posso mangiare da qualche anno per ragioni, diciamo, di diabete, eccetera.
As a kid, I read about Iacovitti on Il Corriere dei Piccoli. Coco Bill was the first one who caught my attention, and then also Zorro Kid. Obviously, I didn't know the name of Iacovitti, because little children are not interested in such kind of things. But what I understood quickly was that these comics were not just for the distraction. They were in a concealed way about the more intrinsic issues of life. Yes, I'm talking about the talking worms, fish with wings, sewing bobbins, and thick salamis in all shapes and sizes.
Ideology and discourses subsequent on the importance and the possibilities of salami in every possible form, but mainly as a concept. I'd like to start with some opening statements. Salami is spicy. Garlic is important for salami. But we should not forget the partially desiccated meat content. There are many spherical forms inside the salami, readily observable if you cut one open. Some salamis have an olfactory content that suggests they are too spicy. There is cogency in the claim that the centre of the salami is the softest part. The skin can be pulled off. But with some sorts of salami, you can also eat the skin. That such an act promotes the taste sensation is doubtful.
Reminiscenze inconsuete di un barocco non distaccato, superbo, altezzoso. Un barocco reinterpretato tanto, fragrante di odori campagnoli e casalecci.
It turned out to be the salami that inspired me the most. And from the moment I became aware of it, around my 10th year, I arranged my life around it. At first, hesitantly and quite unconsciously, but leading to the rich life I lead now, with a full surrender to the idea that represented the salami, and a well-endued life feeling of Iacovitti's drawing. It took quite a long time before I started to appreciate the taste of salami. As a little boy, it was more about mortadella and prosciutto. Well, you can conceive some of Iacovitti's badly drawn salamis as mortadella, but we won't go on this road to nowhere. Iacovitti himself has never left a misunderstanding exist about what type of sausages was his chosen one.
This brings us to some important questions that I shall try to answer sequentially. First, who invented the salami? Obsolete question. The salami has a long history, even predating the Latin epoch and the earliest city-states of Mesopotamia. evidence of pre-civilized salamis have been found within the lowest levels of the seven superimposed cities of Hisarlik in Troas. It seems that while the peoples of Central and Northern Europe derived more ceremonial satisfaction from the sacrifice of the pasta, the Mediterranean and Asiatic races located an endless source of fascination in the plastic culinary art of the salami. The word salami surfaced originally as a generic placeholder for any type of encased meat product. We have no evidence of the existence of simulacra by the name of Salvatore Ami, or indeed anything axiomatically assimilable. So please, refrain if you would, from making these ludicrous suggestions.
But when I finally ate my first piece of salami, I really began to live. I also start to understand things that without this consuming drift would still be a mystery to me. The salami secret is ultimately the secret of Iacovitti. It is difficult for me to formulate what the Iacovitti salami philosophy means, and let's face it, there's not my job in any way. I am like Iacovitti, an artist, and I do not have to prove that I am a creative. Neither do I have to explain anything to anybody. But, and this is a contradictory, I'm also a kind of zealot who wants to win souls. Somewhere between these two extremes, I shall now express extreme caution.
How far can you throw a salami? First, imagine, if you can, the y-ordinate of the salami as a piece of chewing gum stretched out between point P and x equals 4, forming a near infinite loop around a curve at one end and with the x-axis on the other. A force, delta F, is applied, and our salami is now projected through space. Without sufficient spin, a salami will wobble and fall. Without velocity, the salami will not go anywhere. Using these two guidelines, any number of trajectories are possible. Most salamis are designed to create lift when thrown with one side up. Naturally, the successful flight of one salami will depend on your throwing technique. Do you bear in mind, there exists an acute deficiency of skilled salami throwers in the world?
Thus, the curves of life lie at odd angles. No matter how unobserved you feel, there is always something on the floor that has a conscience. if you are cut off from your roots, you continue to keep your little feet. Smell and taste are not everything. Form is predominant. Nothing and nobody is pure. Every entity is a composite wall. Eye opener. The world exists outside your own mind. The more flavor you taste, the more flavor you want.
Salami, a weapon? Nowadays, most salamis are mainly put to use as food. But during the Augustinian period of the Roman Empire, the salami was developed into something more sophisticated. Known as the salamum aggregatum, the composite salami was surely one of the most beautiful weapons ever produced. A composite of meat and glue. It required superb craftsmanship. The payoff was in its performance in terms of sheer efficiency. It outclassed every other weapon available in the ancient world, barring perhaps the broadsword. Its only drawback was that it was often eaten before the outcome of a battle was decided. Hardly surprising given the long day spent chopping, slicing, and slashing. And remember, the Roman day is dictated by the Julian calendar, introduced by Julius Caesar in 46 BC, was at least 2 hours longer than our own. It is said that the doomed legions of Publius Quinctilus Varus, after a series of quick victories over the German tribes, and feeling quite peggish, devoured the majority of their salami. In the consequent attack the following day, the proud legions were decimated, their standards tarnished, and in an act of supreme desecration, their magnificent stallions slaughtered, chopped up, and minced in order to make crude Black Forest salami.
Some entities deserve to be beaten. You better self is a good friend of your right hand. Some entities deserve to be beaten. You better self is a good friend of your right hand. Some entities deserve to be beaten. You better self is a good friend of your right hand.
Some entities deserve to be beaten. You better self is a good friend of your right hand.
E poi ho pensato anche questo, cioè un giorno magari ci sarà della gente che me lo chiede di continuo, insistiamo. Poi il salame, le ossa, i pettini, le matite, tutto ciò che qualche psicologo ha richiamato l'attenzione su questa cosa, dicendo che è una cosa.
And even more, but then I give too much away.
What is the salami? Here we start to enter philosophical territory. Now, at this point, I really think it's important to distinguish between disjunctive hegonomics. On one hand, we have salami that can be used moderately, like basic salami, and on the other, increasingly dangerous salami, like Hungarian paprika salami and venison landjäger. While I agree that some people acquire an addiction to those salamis through a desire to escape from a malfeasant environment, simply approving their choice by enabling a relaxation of the legislation covering dangerous salami is hardly doing a service to their loved ones, or to those who are trying to work collectively to improve the less salubrious neighbourhoods. Escapism, let alone de-radicalisation or premature mummification, are not the answers to social ills. But moderate salami is.
No, non vuoi tra. No, non vuoi tra.
Thank you.
thank you, Iacovitti, that you taught me to look down, that you teach me to watch and see simultaneously, that you gave me freedom. I know now that the salami is about Italy. It is not Italy. On some of the Iacovitti drawings, it even looks like Italy, like a boot, like a lazy man lying on a curve.
In what context can we consider the salami as a success? It is undeniably a beautiful concept. The salami has constructed itself as one of the primary roads to progress. Alongside this progressive identity, there lies what we might implicitly designate as a quasi-feudal spirit of equality. We're all basically equal. Eating our salamis. There are no strictly defined hierarchies. However, there is one really big problem with this, and that problem is envy. Envy. In the simplistic societal terms of the psychologist, it's a real taboo to mention envy. But if there is one dominant driver in modern society, it is the green-eyed monster, more generally called envy. While any salami can be causally linked to the spirit of equality, even a cursory examination of the facts will throw up a series of perfidious counter-arguments. Are you somehow enhanced by the size of your personal salami? Is your cultural aura expanded? He has the biggest one! And are all salamis equal? No. Ask yourself why. That is quite a different story.
Thank you, Father. Like a paradise that you leave. Oh, like a paradise that you leave. Oh, like a paradise that you leave. Oh, like a paradise.
Idem as failure. Many salamis derive their status from a fear of the unknown. As knowledge advances and the invasive tentacles of corporate Google-nomics tighten their grip around the globe. Salamis that seem scary. Salamis that people fearfully imagine leading to great harm are demonstrated to be relatively harmless, and not quite so scary. For example, if we look closely at Europe in the 1950s, a time when the salami was purely understood, and consenting acts between people of the same sex were illegal, we discover that there was a widespread, highly ignorant prejudice about gay people, suggesting that a certain proportion were employing salamis to get their comfort. In the 1860s, salami hysteria among the female population, as documented by Brunhoff, Kakarnak and Bloodstock, had a similar dynamic. The latter study serves as an example of the common myth that salami groups develop isotopically, in the process venting a diseased ideology that declares other groups or tribes as second class, or evil, or even subhuman. With the coming of the container lorry, the contingent spread of the salami has seen that kind of mythology dissipate for the majority of people, catapulting us into our current divisive age, one Van Aanholt and her peers have delineated as the age of the jerky. Where is the salami? It's here. No, it's there.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.